Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, strap on your hiking boots, grab your trusty walking stick, and don't forget the bug spray as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
Coming to you not live from the haunted, monster-ridden metropolis of Monsteropolis here in Ohio. This is Monsteropolis. My name is Seth Breedlove. I'm one of your hosts. I'm joined by...
Mark Matzke. Hello there.
And this week we are talking legends, anomalies, and monsters. We are continuing the... Actually, we're wrapping up the Triangle Trilogy with the Sasquatch Triangle in Ohio. I would say of the three we've talked about, this is probably the least known, correct?
Like, I would assume so, yeah. Although TV has done a lot to popularize it.
I was going to say, it was covered in Finding Bigfoot, and it's been, it was covered in
Monster Quest
to an extent. Yeah. Which I just watched today, by the way.
Science looks for answers on Monster Quest.
Which... Have you watched that episode?
Yeah, yeah.
So I watched that episode, and the funniest thing to me is, like, they're bragging about that helicopter thing, and the guy's like, yeah, it's got a gyroscope on it that keeps it from shaking, and then they show the footage of from the camera, and the camera's like, flying all over. I'm like, you could throw a drone up, like, now, and it would run circles around this thing that
I know.
They apparently brought a guy in to be on the show just specifically to fly his... His helicopter.
Mini helicopter, yeah. With the puck wedgie inside.
Yeah, flying it. Yeah, steering. So yeah, the Sasquatch Triangle. How do we introduce this? Let me think. Long ago.
Oh, and also on the Monster Quest episode.
Yes.
Do you notice how they spelled that Coshocton County?
Yeah.
They just butchered that spelling.
It's pretty bad.
Completely.
You know, we got to talk about the Coshocton White Bigfoot story and the White Bigfoot video, but there's also the story out of Coshocton County of the police chief that retired and told about his multiple sightings of this creature that was down there. I believe it was white, and he actually saw it cross a road one day and smack into a stop sign. Do you know that video? Not video, but do you know that story?
No.
Okay. Yeah. There was like a police. I think he was like a police chief, and during his years on the force, he apparently encountered this like 10-foot tall white Bigfoot multiple times. And one of the times, he saw this thing cross the road right in front of his car, and he was able to judge the height because on its way across the road and under these branches or something, like smacked into this stop sign. The whole stop sign was like shaking. It might have like bent, and he said when it crossed and passed it, it was taller. It was like a foot taller than this stop sign, and he was able to gauge the height of it. But apparently, when he retired, he was okay with coming forward about his sightings of this thing. Which Coshocton, for those that don't know, we're probably going to talk about Coshocton, Ohio, a bunch on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Is definitely one of the most well-known locations in Ohio counties in Ohio for Bigfoot sightings. For those that don't know, here it is right here. The Sasquatch Triangle was coined by Don Keating, who is an Ohio Bigfoot investigator who we'll talk about in a second. Actually, let me introduce this concept of the triangle, and then we'll talk about Don. The triangle, including sections of Tuscarawas, Guernsey, Muskingum, and Coshocton counties, is home to the most frequent Bigfoot sightings in the state. I would say that's home to the most frequent Bigfoot sightings in the state since like the 1970s. I don't think it's I've talked before, if you the predominant locations for Bigfoot sightings in Ohio preceding like the sprawl of Cleveland really spreading out was northern. I mean, it was that northern Great Black Swamp area and Norwalk area and, mm-hmm. and all that. Because Sandusky, weirdly enough, like that area, there was a ton of Bigfoot reports. And it makes sense because that would have been the sprawl of Cleveland. It was probably just starting to spread out. So you've got people coming into areas where they hadn't been before. And all of a sudden there's Bigfoot reports coming from mm-hmm. northern Ohio. And then, you know, it turns into everything up there is basically a suburb at this point of Cleveland, including where we are right now
mm-hmm.
in Wadsworth. And all of a sudden the reports move south and now they, you know, northeast Ohio and then down in southern Ohio, Wayne National Forest and all that seems to be. But today we're talking about the Sasquatch Triangle, which was coined by a Bigfoot researcher in Ohio, Don Keating. Can we talk about Don?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Sure. It's interesting. In his book, which is called Sasquatch Triangle, mm-hmm. he identifies seeing the legend of Boggy Creek in 1977 at a drive-in mm-hmm. as sort of his introduction to the Bigfoot subject. Then in 1984, he got his hands on Sasquatch, The Apes Among Us by John Green and actually took steps. He doesn't describe how he got this information. Maybe it was in the book, but he calls John Green on the phone. And John Green talks to him for a while and actually matches him up with somebody who was in the Columbus, Ohio region. And they go out and start doing research. And
it wasn't Ron Schaffner.
No, it wasn't Ron Schaffner. It was Archer. The last name was Archer, I believe. So that in 1984, he noticed the Newcomerstown News, where he was living, Newcomerstown. Mm-hmm. There was an article in the paper called Strange Animals Being Seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of sparked his imagination. You know, it's happening around here. He got together with, Thomas Archer, and they held a public meeting in July of 1985 to kind of see if there was anybody out there who was also interested in the Bigfoot subject and if there were any reports. And people did show up. And the local paper covered their meeting. It was picked up by AP. And so in the mid-80s, he's getting all of these contacts.
Yeah,
about
I gotta interject here. Like as a kid growing up, I wasn't into Bigfoot, but I was aware of Don Keating from a very young age because mm-hmm. of the fact that all the local media covered his Bigfoot meetings that were taking place in Newcomerstown.
Yeah.
And I was even before I was into the subject, I knew who Don Keating was just by word of mouth. I grew up in Bolivar, which is actually, in my estimation, it's the northernmost tip of the of the Sasquatch Triangle because the triangle ends basically in Strasburg. And anyone that's listened to the old show, to Sasquatch, what got me into all this were stories I was hearing from a road south of Bolivar called St. Peter's Church Road. St. Peter's Church runs into French Hill, and French Hill runs into Strasburg. And it's like right there. It's literally, if you look at Don's early drawing of where that ends, if you go by the Strasburg one, that would be like St. Peter's Church Road. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he knew about the reports going on up there, and that's why that's the northernmost tip. But growing up, that was always an area. It was 2 miles from where my parents' house was. I knew, you know, like I knew those roads. And that area back in there, back in the day, was all privately owned by like the Erie Coal Company or something like that. It's all strip mine area. And it's only recently in the last like decade that it's begun getting developed. So now I don't know that reports are still taking place back there. But the reports that got me into all this were there. We're right on the northernmost tip of the Sasquatch Triangle.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Oh, it's really something.
It is. Well, so that's the northern point. The other points are to the southeast, Salt Fork State Park, mm-hmm. Which is Guernsey County, mm-hmm. technically. And then the western point would be sort of the Conesville area, which is south of Coshocton. That's Coshocton County.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that's the 3 points. And, of course, it's like any triangle, sightings tend to push out from the parameters. It doesn't have to be within that strict boundary. but that's sort of the
midpoint
there.
You're only, what, like 20 minutes from Salt Fork area to Minerva, so you're close now. I have issues with the Sasquatch Triangle that I've seen. Like, it would have to be much larger than what they're showing. You know, like, Carroll County has a huge number of sightings, and it doesn't even seem to be a part of it.
Right, Columbiana, for that matter.
Columbiana, Beaver Creek, and all that. Mm-hmm. It's that whole area is rife with reports. I would argue that anymore, Carroll County and that Minerva area, Columbiana, has more sightings than even down into Coshocton and Guernsey.
Well, like Holmes County even had a fairly recent flap.
Holmes County has reports. Holmes is interesting because there's a report I found from Holmes from like the 1800s.
Wow.
And I don't know what it looked like before it became almost all farmland, but I'm assuming at one point it was probably pretty forested because it is very hilly. It's not like flat pasture land.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's been made that way because it's predominantly populated by my family, the Amish. So that's kind of an interesting. Anyway, like I have a very fond outlook on Don Keating, Don Keating's work, the Sasquatch Triangle. So for those that don't know, Don did a podcast called The Sasquatch Triangle, and you can still go listen to all the episodes on Blog Talk Radio. So if you're really into this subject and you'd like to learn something, you can go back, and I would really suggest the episodes where he had Ron Schaffner on, because those are super fascinating to hear Ron talk. And Ron's someone who I actually really respect the work he did in this. He's not into this anymore, but he was a Sasquatch Triangle investigator to an extent. Mm-hmm. So Don also did this. So I found this. This is kind of cool. Don wrote this Salt Fork State Park introduction. This is actually pulled off the visitguernseycounty.com website, and it's written by Don. It says, Bigfoot, Sasquatch, Yeti, Ohio Grassman, whatever you choose to call it, really, it is all the same creature. Very big, hairy, and tall, averaging 6 to 8 feet tall, with footprints averaging from 13 to 17 inches long. It has been rumored to live in Ohio since the mid-1700s. It has also been rumored to live in Ohio's largest state park, Salt Fork. Over 36 reported sightings have been reported to Don Keating of Newcomerstown since the middle 1980s. It's interesting he's writing it in the third person.
Yeah.
With the huge amount of alleged evidence coming from Salt... I do like the fact that he put evidence in quotes. With the huge amounts of alleged evidence coming from Salt Fork's borders, Keating decided to host the annual Bigfoot Conference at Salt Fork starting in 2005. So keep a keen eye open to the woodlines of Salt Fork State Park next time you visit this wonderful state treasure. It may be something other than a big buck you see standing along the woodline. It may be Bigfoot. Why this location? The landscape of rural Guernsey County appears as a patchwork of forested hills, open meadows, misty valleys, threaded by numerous streams. At the heart of this region is Salt Fork State Park, encompassing the woodlands and fields flanking Salt Fork Reservoir. Many Bigfoot sightings throughout the years have been reported in the Salt Fork region. And then it goes on, talks a little bit about the Finding Bigfoot episode, Monsters and Mysteries in America episode at Morgan's Knob, which I actually do remember. There was a family that, I remember that.
Yep.
Okay, Monster Quest, so yeah. And of course, the Today Show was filmed there with Don Keating, with Kathy Lee and Hoda back in the day. In 2012, its real claim to fame was being called USA Today's Top 10 Squatchiest Place. So...
Yeah.
The Salt Fork is, I jokingly refer to it as Ohio's Bigfoot Mecca. It's every time I go somewhere out of state, someone asks me, oh, have you been to Salt Fork, you know, to look for Bigfoot? And we've actually gone hiking down there.
Yep.
And I and Sue and Andy went once. And we encountered Bigfoot.
Yeah. He was doing pretty well.
He was doing good. he was actually paddling a canoe across the lake, so we didn't get to spend much time with him, but... No,
all the fame has changed him,
yeah,
I think.
But this is the reason that I find this so cool is because I grew up in Tuscarawas County. So I grew up in, you know, like one of the Sasquatch Triangle counties. And that area, it is incredible. I was a small town kid. I grew up in a small town, and we had nothing to do on weeknights or weekends other than drive. So you get in your car and you just drive around these back roads. And I spent hours, untold hours, just driving around this back roads with my friends. We never encountered anything, but those that area down there, if there's any place in Ohio where I totally believe there could be something like this hiding, it would be these counties that it's mentioned here. Now, it does leave out Columbiana and Carroll, but those counties, Guernsey and Coshocton, especially Coshocton, is really shockingly dense, densely wooded. My wife's grandpa actually owns a hunting cabin down there on 50 acres. And like those, it's a really, it can get real creepy back in the air in some of those forested areas. And as a kid growing up, you always heard about, you know, those accounts. So I wanted to go through real quick and talk about or read some of these sighting reports I found on BFRO, on
okay.
the BFRO website. This is where we're at now. I'm just going to get to the point where I'm reading sighting reports from BFRO. But I thought this was interesting. This took place in 2008, June of 2008, actually, in Tuscarawas County and near New Philadelphia. So right down, not far from where I grew up at all. June of 2008, I was walking from my uncle's house back to a farm that was about a half mile away on University Drive in New Philadelphia, Ohio. When I was walking toward the farm, I heard what sounded like coyotes at first. Then it got real quiet. Then I heard a very strange sound. It was not your usual animal sound. It was a high-pitched howl slash growl. Shortly after that, there was a strange smell of musty earth. Then I saw it, Bigfoot, come walking out of the cornfield. I would have to say it was about 7 to 8 feet tall, long shaggy hair. It looked like an oversized man with hair. I was walking on the road in front of it. How I seen it was I heard the corn rustle as it stepped out of the cornfield. I looked back to see what made the noise. I started walking faster, as you would when you see a giant man ape emerge from the cornfield. And when I got to the farm driveway, my mom was there to pick me up. And when she turned the headlights on, the thing stopped following me, stood for a second, then turned and moved quickly back into the cornfield. It also made that weird noise again, which my mom also heard. Cool story. New Philly, right outside of, right below Bolivar, where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these reports on BFRO are from Tuscarawas, Guernsey, and Coshocton. I don't know why they don't have that many reports from other parts of the state to the extent that they do these particular counties, which I find interesting.
Yeah. You know, what's weird is that having said that, the most sightings out of any county on that site are from Portage.
I was going to say Portage is weird.
And that's weird. West Branch mm-hmm. State Park is where a lot of those come out of.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, that's just a really strange area to me for there to be a whole bunch of sightings because it's...
Portage.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Like, even West Branch State Park is not a... There's houses all around.
Right.
It's been pretty heavily developed up there. And, you know, it's kind of like a flattened, or I guess not, it's not terribly Midwest, but it's a little more Midwest than like where we're talking about with Salt
mm-hmm.
Fork. So it is
right.
really strange that.
Well, maybe that's why, is because there's just more people
mm-hmm.
to make, see things.
To make noises and make
yeah.
scare people
right.
in the woods.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it is strange. I'm not going to go through all these. I just wrote so many down, mostly for later because they're all from like the area where I grew up, like Urecksville and Newcomerstown, Tuscarawas County. This is another one over by... over by Newcomerstown. The Coshocton area is known for that. That was kind of like, for whatever reason, that was kind of like Keating's hub. Like it seemed like as a kid, especially like I heard Coshocton all the time.
Oh, yeah.
People travel from all over the United States to Coshocton County because it supposedly has like the largest population of white-tailed deer in the country. And so hunters have cabins there and people travel there. And like I said, my wife's grandpa has a cabin there. They travel all over the country. Someone that I know who used to travel to Ohio to hunt in Coshocton County was Brian Gosselin.
Really?
Yeah. He used to,
oh, wow.
Yeah, he used to travel over here. And Brian is the police officer who saw the Bigfoot at Hebert Road back in 1976, but he used to travel to Coshocton County to do his hunting.
That's wild.
Yeah. So during the 80s, there were a large number of sightings of this white Bigfoot in Coshocton County, and it might be the same white Bigfoot that the police chief mm-hmm. supposedly saw. But this white Bigfoot seems to also be stalking Don Keating. And you might be able to reference or talk a little bit about this with me. So there's the famous video. Do you know what year that was shot?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, the video.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was July 1992.
Okay.
He was videotaping an interview with a man named Charlie Hunter. And the tape continues. Well, actually, that's when that interview took place, and then he started recording on a later date, which was August 2nd, 1992. Mm-hmm. And that's when he captured the footage in question.
And then the footage sat there. He didn't notice it for a long time,
right? It was a cold, snowy December night in 1993, and he was bored, so he pops this tape in and lets it roll. And that's the only way, he says, that he noticed the creature in the first place. He didn't see it the day of the taping. So it was only after, you know, like a year had passed, more than a year, that he saw what was on the tape. And what's in the scene happens very quickly, but there's a large light-colored something that moves from right to left down a lane and then disappears behind some shrubbery or whatever. And there's been all kinds of analysis that's been done on that footage.
Don Keating himself did a extensive documentary that looked into the White Bigfoot video with Danny Perez of the Pacific North, huge noted Small Town Monsters fan, Danny Perez. Danny Perez, and they analyzed that video, and they actually came to like a guesstimate or an estimate of what the creature would have been moving, like the speed at which it would have been moving. And that is one thing about that video. It's at a great distance and it's extremely pixelated, but it moves. It seems to move very fast. And it's very unusual that the entire body, head to toe, seems to be white.
Mm-hmm.
The video, you just see this in the background, this blur move across this field, but it's very clearly a white blur. That's not to say it couldn't be a, you know, it's the early 90s, so it could be a person in a sweatsuit with their hood pulled up or something, you know, but it's a really bizarre video.
Well, and they feel that they've been able to get some fairly accurate measurements because Keating knew exactly where he was standing.
Yeah.
And the distance between where he was standing and the road was 262 feet. The thing walked past a two-tiered bush. The highest portion of it was 12 feet, the low was 9 feet, and the top of the subject was level or slightly higher than the lower tier, which means that you're looking at something that was around 8 to 9 feet tall. Whatever it was, it took 4 steps and covered 28 feet, took 7-foot strides. So, you know, you're right, they did all kinds of testing on it. They even had tall people go and try to duplicate the movement of the thing that's on the film. And Keating says a 6'5" man who was not named tried to do it and couldn't come close to duplicating the motion of whatever is in the video. So it's really interesting because Keating is always super careful to say, I'm not saying it was a Bigfoot. I don't know what it was, but whatever it was is this big figure.
Do you have anything that references the video that he shot later where he was convinced he shot it across this? He was at a strip mine filming or formerly strip mine location filmed across and thinks he filmed it a second time
from
a distance, or he saw it a second time at a distance. There's actually 3 incidents over the course of years.
Okay.
Where he's convinced he was either shooting or filmed it or was being watched by it. Whoa.
Okay.
I got so excited I bumped my
head. Yeah.
The same white Bigfoot.
Wow.
So,
okay.
And if you, this is what I was talking about with the Sasquatch Triangle radio show. If you can seek that out, and they talk about it on a couple of those episodes. There were multiple times where he felt like he was in the same area as this creature, and it's all in Coshocton County.
Right, right. Because there's 80s sightings that he definitely had of a white Bigfoot that preceded the 92
okay,
footage.
Maybe that's them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is one of them in a strip mine area?
Yes, as a matter of fact.
Do you have any info on that?
I do. If you give me a moment, I can...
See, a lot of this is pulled from my memory of listening to that show.
Yeah, oh, sure.
So,
because he had, I mean, he formed over time a kind of an ad hoc group of people who would go out and research with him on weekends when he could.
Did they have a name? They all have a name, right?
Yeah, they did have a name. Some combination of Ohio and Bigfoot.
Bigfoot Field Researchers, Field Research Organization.
So, yeah, I mean, they would go out periodically to these places. And there's one night in particular, and this may be the strip mine one, but they were hearing sounds, and one guy had a floodlight. And they kind of counted down, you know, turned the floodlight on. And when they did, Keating says he saw, like, moving through the trees, what appeared to be the midsection of a large white thing.
I don't think it's the same incident.
Okay.
I think later there was another incident in which he filmed the same creature.
Nothing was said about another film. So I mean, it had almost, to have happened after.
It's interesting because I at some point I read where someone jokingly referred to it as like the haunting. Like he was being haunted by this white Bigfoot.
Uh-huh.
And you know what? My first question when I got into Oklahoma and to Area X, my first question to them was, have you guys ever seen a white Bigfoot? And it's because like here in Ohio, that was a popular sighting description when I was first getting into this. It seemed like people were always seeing white Bigfoots, or you know, like that's an East Coast thing. And I was curious that that's a, you know, like something that they've spotted elsewhere. But it's always been Coshocton's always been home to the white Bigfoot in my head, anyway. Mm-hmm. Like that's the big thing down there.
Well, can you tell the rest of that story then? Because I think there's a connection point.
Are we talking about the white Bigfoot?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned it at X.
Yeah. I was in Oklahoma and I asked about the white Bigfoot, and he said, we were driving in with Alton Higgins. I asked if anyone had ever seen a white Bigfoot, and he said no. And said it wasn't he didn't recall anyone ever seeing a white Bigfoot in there. And we get in and into X, and we get out of the car and we get unpacked and everything. We get our tent up, and one of the guys gets in his camo and he goes out with his rifle. And within like 2 hours, he was radioing back to base camp that he was scoping in a white Bigfoot on his, like, as he was looking through his scope at a white Bigfoot. So it's a really bizarre coincidence, I guess, but it was the only part of that trip that was unnervingly coincidental. Like, it was really a weird coincidence to have that happen. So anyway, I guess it is a connection, because he's looking at it through something other than his own eyes. Creepy.
I've got another Coshocton report that I think is really cool. This is from May of 87. The Coshocton Tribune published a little police blurb about a woman who wrecked her car in order to avoid something in the road. And Keating followed up on that because I guess he had a spidey sense about it, you know. And he got an interview with the woman, and she said that she was driving down this country road. She saw something standing in the road, standing on two legs. As she got closer, it was covered with dark brown or black fur. She swerved to avoid it, and she ended up rolling her car, actually. And she thought it was about seven and a half feet tall, 3 feet across at the shoulders. And so the woman was taken to the hospital to be checked out. And a friend of the family who went to the hospital to check on her told the sheriff's deputy who was there at the same time, he had seen a creature cross the road in the same area 10 minutes before the accident happened. And that the creature was holding a deer under its arm. Mm. And no one had mentioned why she had wrecked her car up to that point. Later on, I mean, the sheriff's department had the car impounded and would not let anyone look at the car. No, and Keating offers no explanation. He says he doesn't know why they wouldn't let anyone look at it, but it was like under a tarp. And people tried to look under it, and they were told, you know, stay away from that. So I just thought that was pretty interesting because anytime you've got a report connected to the police blotter, I think that that's
well, and
that makes it news.
And the fact that it was carrying a dead animal. So, like, the just not to bring it back to me, but the Bolivar stuff mm-hmm. that got me into all this
oh, yeah.
was entirely centered around the fact that, well, not entirely. I mean, there were sightings of Bigfoot that took place on the on that stretch of road during the 70s. And then later, when I kind of got into the subject and started driving around down there, I started asking locals if they had ever had anything unusual happen to them. And we, one of the couples that I talked to about it told me that during the 70s and then more recently, they basically alluded to the fact that this happened a lot during the 70s, stopped happening, and then it started happening again in the last like couple months. This would have been back in like 2007, 2008 when I interviewed. Mm-hmm. But basically they had found deer ripped in half and stuffed up in trees on their property. Are you aware that there's a photo or something online of a guy passed away a couple of years ago. I can't remember his name, but he used to send me photos and things. When I first started getting into this, he was a Sasquatch listener. He just passed away two, three years ago, I think. I can't remember. His first name's Bob, but he had photos of really bizarre things that he had found. And a lot of it was explainable, but he had one photo he sent me of he had been walking through a pine forest, and this is in Coshocton. He was walking through a pine forest and came into an area where the pine was there wasn't any undergrowth. It was just a pine forest, and there was hanging from all the trees was like 20, 30 dead geese that had been tied by their necks around the branches.
Whoa.
And that was in Coshocton County. And I remember it is a really weird, it isn't one of those things you couldn't immediately, you can't say it's Bigfoot because right. there's nothing to prove that anything happened that, you know, there's no footprints on the ground or anything, mm-hmm. but he thought it was really bizarre and unusual. It is, you know, Southern Ohio and, or Northeastern Ohio, I guess, or Eastern Ohio, whatever
Eastern,
you want to call it.
Sure.
There's not a lot going on, so maybe the kids are so bored they're going out and killing geese and
going goose tying.
Yeah, goose tying. It's a big hobby down there. But the picture was really unusual, and I'll have to see if I can find it through his old Facebook thread. He used to message me on Facebook a lot, and then he started calling me, and he always had something. Like, he was always looking into something down in like a Coshocton, Guernsey, because that's, I think that was the area where he lived.
Okay,
but there's. When I was first getting into this, that was something that people were always talking about. It's like dead animal kills, like weird animal kills, mutilations. The common thing is still that the fact that like there's a cut near the like the kidneys are removed or like a heart is removed, but it's a very precise and weird cut, and like mm-hmm. it almost ties it to like UFOs, and you know, like animal mutilation is tied to UFOs.
Yeah,
but that is really prominent down in that area.
Hmm. Yeah, that is, there's a Salt Fork case where there was a deer kind of stuffed into a cave.
Oh,
not
okay.
Outcropping, not yeah. really a cave per se. But same thing. I mean, I think it was the liver that was removed. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it wasn't bitten out, but it was torn out.
Mm-hmm.
Like more of a natural cause as opposed to a surgical
yeah.
cut. But that's not rampant, but that's not uncommon.
I mean, it's probably worth mentioning the fact that the sightings that are taking place down there, that the history of sightings in Guernsey, Tuscarawas, Coshocton County go back to the 1800s. Because mm-hmm. we have the book Historical Bigfoot has accounts from the 1800s from Guernsey. The Coshocton's always been known for being a hub of activity. And clearly you have Salt Fork State Park, which is... You know, like, I make fun of Salt Fork State Park now as being some sort of home of activity because of the fact that I understand it's a very large park and there's probably places in there where people don't very often go. But for the most part, I think, especially when the closer you get to the lodge, there's people everywhere and there are people in there daily looking for Bigfoot.
Mm-hmm.
You've also got a pretty well-known hoaxer operating out of that area. I'm not going to say a name or anything, but there's a well-known hoaxer who's been on an episode of Finding Bigfoot who operates out of Salt Fork State Park, who's always trying to pull something. So it's a, I have issues with the place because I think it muddies the water, and I think stuff can happen in there that might be misconstrued as actual activity where there might not be any.
Yeah.
But having said that, I know Shannon LeGros had weird stuff happen to her in there. I know other people I know who've heard weird, like unexplainable sounds, and I know people who've claimed to have sightings in the park. So Salt Fork itself has a strange Bigfoot like cover up history, even.
Yeah.
Jody Cook. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah, we can. We can. The frustrating thing for me about that is there's not much in the way of documentation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more hearsay.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I mean, when did that go back to?
I felt like that was
soon
the
after
80s.
The...
I think it was the 80s and 90s, but supposedly there was like an organized cover up within the Salt, I don't know if it was Salt Fork's specific state park, you know, like employees, or if it was like state park employees, or if it was ODNR, but someone supposedly closed. There was like a section of the park, right?
Right, yeah.
Weird thing about that that makes me think of is Cuyahoga Valley National Park and the Oak Hill Trail where
oh, yeah.
where we heard what sounded like a wood knock one time, and then... they quickly closed that section of the park. Now you can't get up there.
Right. Yeah.
So that was weird. Sasquatch Triangle. Sum up thoughts. Or do you have more you want to get to before?
Well, did you want to talk about that Morgan's Knob Loop? That's super well known, but
yeah, it's mentioned in here too.
Yeah.
And that's where Finding Bigfoot and Monsters and Mysteries was filmed. Yeah, let's talk about it real
quick. Right. It happened Memorial Day 2013, so it's pretty, you know, it's one of the more recent reports.
Yeah.
It was a family, the Eddie family with four kids, and they walk up Morgan's Knob Loop Trail, and if anybody who's listening has ever been to the park, it winds around and it goes up to a hilltop, a knob in the local parlance, and then at the very top of that is a picnic table, and then the trail doesn't continue, but there's sort of a meadow that continues to go down, and that's where these kids went. You know, the parents and the oldest sibling were sitting on the picnic table, and the kids continued down through the meadow and into the woods, and it's down there that they said that they saw a Bigfoot creature kind of peek out from behind the tree and classic Bigfoot fashion, and then go back upright. And of course, the kids react predictably. You know, they screamed and they ran back up the hill, the mom and dad. And dad went back down the hill and he saw some deer, but he didn't see a creature. And, you know, understandably, the entire family was freaked out. Interesting part of that story is that someone in the family, I think it was the mother, knew of someone who was also at Salt Fork, who was there at the park to be part of a Bigfoot research group campout.
Mm.
So members of that group came up to where the family was and helped them get back down the trail. You know, just it helped to have them there and feel a little safer.
Mm-hmm.
And so what they theorize is that later on, thinking about what had happened, that the kids had stumbled into Bigfoot hunting deer. But when it appeared on, I guess, Monsters and Mysteries, when they, you know, sort of retold the story there, they really played up the angle of Bigfoot was stalking the kids.
Yeah.
And that's, according to the family, that's not at all what took place. And, you know, the kids each drew pictures of what they saw, and it was very, very similar to each other. So it seems like a pretty credible sighting.
That is, yeah.
But it unfortunately was misreported.
As most
are
on those shows.
Yeah.
What else do you want to hit before we start to wrap up? Because you've got like pages.
Yeah,
of
I mean, you could just go on and on. I guess the one thing that I'll say is Keating's story is just super interesting to me. And especially, I love the Sasquatch Triangle book that he wrote, because it is entirely self-published. It was him and a typewriter and a Xerox machine putting this together. And for that reason, I mean, there's just, it's completely unfiltered, and it's entertaining reading, because it's like you, he was sitting there telling you, it's just written in that sort of real down home, unfussy style. And you get a real sense of him.
He's overlooked now. And I mean, honestly, he's overlooked in the overall, quote unquote, pantheon of like famed sort of Bigfoot researchers or investigators. I hate the word researcher. I don't know why that is, but research, I prefer investigate.
Sure.
He spent more time than almost anyone, especially in the 80s and 90s, like looking into the subject and really built like a pretty solid database of sighting reports. You're never going to see him, and I'm never going to see him. Like, from what I know of Don, he that stuff is under lock and key, and probably when he leaves, he'll burn it all to the ground. And that's actually pretty common. Like, Bill Brann is that same kind of guy. There's like those old school, but they're from that specific time. It's like after John Green and Grover Krantz, but like before the sort of modern celebrity Bigfooters. Mm-hmm. There's this period of time where it's these guys who really were into the subject, wanted to know what was going on, did a very studious job of like gathering all these reports, and then have largely been forgotten. Schaffner, Don, and there's others like that. Bill Brann, unfortunately, because I think those guys are kind of vital to the, when we look back on all of this someday, it's they're kind of vital to the overall story.
Right. Yeah. And coming from a very pure place of wanting to know what's going on. Yeah. And I also think, and I'm this just hit me while we're talking today, you could make a case that Don Keating is the originator of the cryptozoological conference culture.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, because...
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What existed before the annual Bigfoot conference?
Yeah, there was nothing.
There really wasn't.
No, Mark's Ohio Bigfoot Conference was the biggest conference revolving around the stuff in the country, honestly. I mean, there really wasn't anything that compared to that. Town hall meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
I wonder if town hall meetings originated with Don.
Yeah. So, I mean, 85, as we have it documented.
I don't know
his first one.
I don't know if that was going on before then. I don't know if it was or not. I hesitate to say he was the first, but I'm not exactly sure that I've ever heard of anything before that either.
Right.
So, Sasquatch Triangle.
The thing, of course, you know, for you and me, that is so attractive about it is that we can get in a car and hour and a half be right in the thick of it.
Mm-hmm.
And for that reason, I think it's it's more accessible for a larger amount of people who would really be interested in it. I mean, for example, for us to go to the Pacific Northwest took months of planning and a lot of resources, but you know, if you live within, how many people live within driving distance of Salt Fork, for example, and can easily get there? Now, I will say, working on some writing about Salt Fork State Park, I have some ideas about their courtship of the subject. I think they don't mind at all that there is a reason outside of just paddling your kayak to get to Salt Fork State Park. And I'm not saying that at all, that that's the origin of these stories, but...
No, it's definitely... I mean, you can't deny that that is a huge part of that park now, either.
Yeah.
And it's almost like a Bigfoot theme park at this point.
It is. It is. And, that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It brings a whole new generation into the subject.
Yeah.
And nurturing that interest along with the interest in the outdoors in general, I think is pretty admirable.
If you like the show, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Spotify, whatever your favorite podcatcher is. We are on social media. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/monsteropolis. We're on Twitter at monsters
971 FM.
And you can send us email at monsteropolismail@gmail.com. I think that wraps it up for this week. We're gonna start the next slew of episodes, which we haven't even come up with a topic. If you want to watch the show live, we're gonna record live once per month, so you'll actually be able to watch the whole 3 hour long recording session,
yeah,
which is pretty unbelievable. We've been here over 3 hours right now talking. Yeah. So you can tune in live on the Facebook page. So, all right, thanks, guys. We'll be back next week.
See ya.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com and is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.